Acts 16, we're going to be looking at 6 through, we're going to read 6 through 15. 6 through 15. And if you can, stand for the reading of God's word. If you are able, please stand. Acts 16, 6 through 13. Beginning in verse 6. And when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Tros, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And they were right. This is what God had called them to do. So setting sail from Tros, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You're here today for a reason. Whether you think that you wanted to come and chose to be here to do whatever, you're here for a reason. The Lord has worked things out for you that you are here today. The Lord is that invested in our lives. Can everybody understand that? Do we understand that the Lord interposes into our lives, come into our lives and works? Can we all agree with that?
Amen.
We left off last week with the person and the character of young Timothy. Young Timothy. We talked about how he was willing to be circumcised so that he would not be a stumbling block to the Jewish people. Because you remember, Timothy was half Greek, half Jew. The Jewish people, they knew that. And so Timothy, what did he do? His character, who was he? Who was this person? Timothy was a man after God's own heart. He was willing to do whatever he could to serve the Lord, even if it meant to be circumcised, which was not necessary. But his desire was to become all things and all to all people so that the message of Christ might spread. This was Timothy's heart. This is the type of people that the early church consisted of, people that were willing to lay down everything that they are, even their flesh, to serve Christ. We move on to verse 6, and we leave the region that they're in, and we get into Phrygia and Galatia. If I butchered those words, I'm sorry, but there's about a half a dozen ways to say these words, and people say them differently, so just bear with me. Verse 6 says this, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Forbidden. Forbidden. Forbidden to speak. Absolutely. This is what happened. Forbidden. Why were they forbidden to speak? Well, let me explain it to you. Because it wasn't for them yet to do that in that place. It wasn't time for it. So what happened? The Lord forbid them to speak. The Lord needed them somewhere else. Needed them somewhere else, without a doubt. He is moving in the lives of Paul and Silas and Timothy. He wanted this group of companions to go somewhere else. And in this, we see that our God is a God of order. God of order. His righteous plans and His ways are always good and they're always just. Amen. He's a God of order. We don't always see things the way that He sees things, and we don't always understand His will. Amen. But hindsight most generally is 20/20, isn't it? Amen. And we can look back on this text and we can say, oh, that's why He did that. But at the time, I can imagine Paul, and I can imagine these men that were with him, they're trying to figure out, why won't He let us speak in Asia? Why is He going to take us all the way to Troas and then get onto a boat and go to another place and then go into Europe? Why is He going to take us all the way to this place to minister to somebody that's from a place that we're passing by? We're going to answer those questions this morning. Our God is a God of order. He is the Lord that is in control. And it's good that we see that. The Lord needed them somewhere else. He's a God of order, understanding. He's a God of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16 and 9, one of my favorite proverbs is this: the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. We plan our ways, but it is the Lord who establishes our steps. What's taking place in our text? Answer, this is the answer: divine providence. You got a pen? I want you to write it down. Divine providence. If you look up the word providence in the dictionary, you will find that it says the care, guardianship, and control exercised by a deity. Divine direction. Divine direction. People believe in providence, or people believe in coincidence? I believe in providence. I don't know about you guys. I believe in providence. The Lord God, in all of His wisdom, is revealing Himself to Paul and to the men, showing them that even though going into Asia and Mysia and Bithynia sounded like an excellent idea, God knew that it was not time for them to be there. He knew that. There was a time where Casey and I thought it would be a good idea to do this or that, and the Lord knew better, and I'm thankful that He does. And I'll get to that here in just a moment, but they thought it would be good to share and to preach the gospel in Bithynia, Mysia, and Asia. To go into these places and share the love of Christ, but God knew better. He knew better. We have a hard time letting go and letting the Lord, don't we? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, we know these verses. It tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, declares the Lord. He has a plan and He has a purpose that's been established long before anything came into our head and our own plans and purpose. And He will establish it. You mark my word down on that. I'm going to give you about 4 points here that I want you to see about this passage of Scripture. The first one is this: in the divine providence of our Lord, it is truly awesome to see that the Lord runs interference for us when we need Him. Amen. Has He ever ran interference in your life? Amen. He has in mine. Where I thought that we needed to do this. Let me give you an example. Casey and I, newly married, about a year and three months. Because Anna was just, how old was she? We don't know. Anyway, Anna was about a year. We had been married a little bit longer than that because we had Anna 10 months after we got married. I truly felt the Lord leading us to Haiti to minister, to share the gospel. I'd been there before, and it was a place that needed Jesus. There was, without a doubt, needed Jesus. And my heart was sold out for Jesus. My heart was completely sold out to do his work. Casey was too. We had a little girl that couldn't leave the country until she turned one. So we planned on her birthday, or the day after, we planned to leave the country and to go to Haiti. And we were going to be there working with a man in a church that I truly loved. He was a good man, and he had a heart to serve Christ. And we truly felt the Lord had led us into that direction. And we paid everything up, raised support, and we were planning on being gone for 6 to 8 months. 6 to 8 months with our little child. The day before we were to leave, now I had planned my steps, and I had wanted to do that. I thought it would be a good idea to go there and do that. But the Lord had different thoughts, different plans. On Anna's birthday, she got pneumonia and liked to have died that night. We was in the hospital, and the next day was a Sunday. We were scheduled to leave Sunday or Monday. I think it was Monday that we were scheduled to leave. And we were in the hospital, and her fever was terrible. She could barely breathe and on all sorts of breathing treatments. And I was completely bumfuzzled about God's will for my life, for my family's life. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you showing us? I thought we were going to serve you. But you clearly have shut this down. So what is your will for us? And about that time, there was a man from the first pastorate that I was at. I knew him, and I'd worked with him before, and he walks through the door of the hospital through our room, and he comes to check on us. He said, Brother Matthew, he said, I know that you were planning on going to Haiti. He said, but would you come and fill in for us next Sunday? I said, certainly, I'd love to. I stayed there for 5 months, filling in. I didn't know they were viewing me to be their pastor. As dense as I was at 25, I had no idea that they were viewing me. And they were the whole time. What I'm saying is, we try to plan and we try to do things, but the Lord has a way of His will being accomplished in our life. His will. And it's best that we submit to that will and allow Him to do so. A lot of people don't like to submit to the will of God, and I'm sorry, but He is stronger than us. He just is. His ways have been established long before ours. In eternity past, how are we to argue with the potter when we are the clay? Amen. Just can't. The Lord stopped us, and He stopped us, and He revealed His arm of strength to us. And when He did, He opened up a door that was very clear. And Casey and I have always had this mentality. If we're going to be a fool, we're going to be a fool for Jesus. And if He's going to lead us, He's going to take us and He's going to show us. He's going to physically have to stop us to get us to go somewhere else. We've lived by that, haven't we, honey? We have. The second part of this I want to bring out to you is, with this heavenly providence, we see that His way will stand. His way will stand. His way will beat your way every time. His way will stand. Isaiah 9 and 7, we read it earlier. I'm going to read it again because this is talking about grace. It's talking about the church. It's talking about what Jesus would do when He came. Isaiah 9 and 7. After we have the prophecy of the coming Prince of Peace, it tells us that of the increase of His government or the church and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And then it says this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The way of the Lord will stand. Whether you like that or whether you don't, whether I'm a fan of that or whether I am not, I want to be a lot of times the master of my own destiny. Amen. Who doesn't? The master of my own destiny. I'm a strong man. I can do it my way. That song we've sang before, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. And the end of that song, it says, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. We need him. We need his plan. We need his purpose for our life. My children, when they were little bitty, couldn't walk without me holding their hand. Don't think that we're ever out of that position when it comes to the Lord and our relationship with us, with him. Because we're not. We need him at every turn and in every way possible, holding our hands. When we think that number one is us, and when we think that we can do that on our own, I promise, then you will fall. Understand this. Do what you will. Do your own thing. Live a free life. But know the will, the plan of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, it will happen. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on with any of you as far as that goes and what God has for your life. I do know this. It's far easier to submit to him and allow him to lead us than to go about our own way. Just is. It's better to humbly submit to him, isn't it? To submit to him now. And to say, Lord, your will be done. Than for him to bear his arm to us. Because he will. He will stop us. He will get our attention. And he will set us on the right path. But that doesn't have to be the case all the time. But sometimes he does. The third thing that I want you to see. The providence of the Lord is meant for the good of his children. The providence of the Lord is meant for the good of his children. If my son asks me for a loaf of bread, will I give him a snake? Or if he asks me for this or that, will I give him something else? No. Why? Because I love my child. The providence of the Lord is meant for the good of his children. Luke 11:11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Romans 8:28. This is a verse that everybody quotes. A lot of times taken out of context. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those that love God, all things work together for what? Good. For those who are the called according to his purpose. The providence of the Lord is meant for the good of his children. For the good of his children. To bring us into a place where we can flourish. Where we can be that sheep that's in the pasture in Psalm 23. This is his desire for us. He doesn't want us in Lodibar like Mephibosheth was in the Old Testament. A place of no pastures. No, quite the opposite. He wants us in a place where we can prosper. And where we can be loved on by him. There is a prosperity to serving the Lord. And that prosperity comes straight from his hand. Straight from his hand. He is good to his children. Corvette good? Lamborghini good? Better than that. Peace good. Reason why people buy them things is because they're never content with what they have. And there's a big, giant, gaping hole in their heart. Jesus came to fill that hole up and to give us a life that is peaceful as the Prince of Peace. He's the good Father, and His ways and His plans, His purposes are good for us. It may not seem good at the time. It may seem hard, difficult. It may not even make sense. But understand this, rest assured that it is good. The fourth thing that I want you to see, this is probably the most important. The fourth thing, our text in chapter 16, 6 through 15, it speaks about Paul and his companions traveling to a place a long ways away. And they're going to go to that place and they're going to have to go through different places to do that. And it's going to lead all the way up to one moment. And that one moment is the gospel of Jesus coming into Europe. Big deal. Very big deal. First time it is coming into Europe. This is astronomical. This is a huge thought. The fourth point is this. In our text, this providence was exercised for the purpose of grace. This providence was exercised for the purpose of grace. I want you to pay attention to me when I tell you this. Ephesians 1 and 3. God's word. His letter to the Ephesians. The third verse says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed in Christ with every blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. It's Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. If we know that God's grace was established before the foundations were laid, and that's what our scripture's telling us. If we know that His grace was established before the foundations of the heaven were laid, before the crust and the magma of the earth had come together, before any of that took place, if we know that there was grace then, wouldn't you think that it's showing us that His grace is pretty important? Wouldn't you think that? I would. I would think that His grace is very important. And if it was purposed then, before the foundations were laid, if it was purposed then, if it was important then we know that it will come to pass. Amen. Plain and simple. Whatever we say about it, it matters not. It will come to pass. In this text, the providence was exercised for the purpose of grace. Here we have providence in our text being exercised by God. Don't miss it. So that those who were chosen before the foundations were laid would have the gospel preached to them so that they could believe. You say, what's your evidence, Pastor? I'm fixing to give it to you. Just hold on. Who is the example in our text we see that will have God's grace poured out on them? Lydia. I love that name. I wanted to name one of my girls that, and the other three names took precedence, so I named them that. But if I'd have had a fourth, it would have been Lydia. Lydia. This is the object of divine grace that was going to be poured out on Lydia. Because we have God's word, we can see this coming together. Providence is working this out. For the grace of God to be bestowed upon Lydia. By the providence of God, Paul and his traveling companions. Now, pay attention. Paul and his traveling companions. Listen to this. For them to get to Lydia. Listen to this. They were forbidden by the Lord to speak in Asia. They were forbidden to speak in Mysia and in Bithynia. Do you know that Lydia was from this region in Asia? Right there, smack dab in the middle, was Thyatira. The very place where Paul and his companions were instructed not to preach. Why were they instructed not to preach there? Because God had something else for them. He was in the background and he had something else for them working. And that something else was so that this woman could receive the gospel. All the way in another place. I want you to pay attention to me now. So from Asia, Mysia to Bithynia, they came to Troas, got on a boat at the right time, on the right day, with the right weather. They were going to Samothrace, making their way to Neapolis, and from Neapolis they were going all the way to Philippi. For them to intercept Lydia, all of those destinations, all of those travelings, and everything that they were doing had to be perfect. It wasn't a coincidence that they happened upon her down by the riverside. I don't believe it for one second. They make their way all the way to the riverside where there is a group of ladies praying. One of which would have came all the way from Thyatira to sell her purple. This woman was probably a Jew, probably a proselyte Jew. But regardless, she knew something of truth. Because she had went there to not forsake the assembling of herself together with the rest of the ladies that was with her. She went to this place to pray. Paul is there. All the way from Thyatira, Paul and them are all the way from Galatia. And it just so happens that they intercept Lydia in this place down by the riverside. So you say, Pastor, that the Lord took Paul through all of these places to minister to this small, humble group of souls? Was that the Lord's purpose for them to go all the way through all of those miles? For them to go to one place down by the riverside in Europe to minister to just a few souls? Is that what you're telling me? Absolutely. You know why? Because he loves the individual just like he does the multitude. The last time I checked, it says that Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this is exactly where the Lord is leading him. We see in the scripture in Luke chapter 8, Jesus specifically crossing the Sea of Galilee to go to the land of Gadara. And when he got to the other side, after the storms and after the world tried to sink their boat, when he got to the other side, he went there not for a joyride and not to just go see the sights of a tomb. He went there so that he could preach to a wild man. Jesus did this. It was on purpose. It was intentional. He crossed to the other side to share his grace with a man that was wild, so that he could be clothed and dressed in his right mind. Why did Jesus risk everybody in the boat to go all the way over there just for one person? Because he did. Because he loves the one person. John chapter 4, Christ goes to Samaria, which was a no-no. They weren't supposed to go there. But Jesus tells his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. I don't want to go across the river. I don't want to go out into the desert. I don't want to cross the River Jordan to come down south, then to go back over into Jerusalem. I'm not doing that. I'm going in the straight path, and I'm going to minister to one that needs me. He came to the woman at the well, and when the woman at the well was there, she was a woman of the world. Little did she know that she was a lost sheep that was about to be found. And we can't get around this. This is so evident and so blatantly clear. The purpose of grace. This providence of grace was being showed to not only that wild Gadarean, but this woman at the well. Is it a coincidence that the children of Israel went into Jericho and got Rahab? Is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that she just so happened to be in the lineage of Christ Jesus? I don't think so. Is it a coincidence that Naomi took her family all the way, her and her husband took her family all the way into Moab, so that her husband and her boys would die? But before they died, one of them would marry a lady by the name of Ruth. Is it a coincidence that Ruth would come out with Naomi after their family is already dead? Is it a coincidence that they would go into the breadbasket, into Bethlehem, and that she would meet one called Boaz, her kinsman redeemer? It is not a coincidence. Is it a coincidence that Boaz marries this woman? No. Is it a coincidence that Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ? No. It's providence. It's God's plan, His purpose, His will. And what's it for? So that grace could be bestowed. So that grace could be bestowed. In each situation, God's divine providence is seen to accomplish His purpose of grace. Do we see that? So the Lord runs interference for us, and I love this about Him. He runs interference for us when we don't know what's good for us, when we don't understand exactly what's going on. There He is, and there He is running interference for us. And by His providence, by His grace, He is leading us and He is guiding us. Amen. You need to praise Him for that today. Amen. He's going to do it. It is for our good. And it's so that grace may be carried out to those that will believe. Amen. Plain and simple. This morning, I don't know where the Lord has you. I have no idea. I don't know what He has in store for you. But I know this for sure. His way is far greater than our way. I can't convince you to follow Him. Paul was trying to share the gospel with Agrippa and Festus. I think it was Festus that spoke up and he said, "Thou almost convinced me to be a Christian." Almost. We can't convince anybody to follow after Jesus. Amen. It's not within us to do. We can share it, but it's the Lord that puts them in the right steps. Amen. His way is far greater than our way. Amen. We see the providence of God exercised here with the placing of Paul and his companions. If it would have been left up to them, they would have missed Lydia. They would have ministered in her, probably her hometown. But she wasn't there, was she? But if you look and you see that the Lord took Paul and these men over a far distance just so they could minister to a lost sheep. If you go on in that story, you will also see that there's another one called the Philippian jailer who's going to be ministered to. And we're going to talk about that later. We still have a lot to go over in this one passage. Not this morning, we don't. I'm done. But I want us to understand that the providence of God is beneficial to us. It's better than our way. It's a more loving way. It's a more blessed way. More beneficial. And my plea to you is this. Is throw down your will and allow him to hold your hand and walk in his direction. Amen. The place that he would have you to go, the things that he would have you to do, the people that he would have you to minister to, and the life that he would have you live. Throw down your will and grab his hand. And walk with him by faith. I can't say that any clearer. I can't convince you any better. We have all of the examples through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. We have our own personal experiences and our own things that have happened to us where we've seen the arm of the Lord revealed and where he has led us. There is a better way. There's a more blessed way. There's a more beneficial way. There's a more complete way, a way that is more fulfilling. But it starts by throwing down your arms and taking up the Lord's. Plain and simple. I cannot stress that enough. I know why. But it's hard for me to think that a person would not follow after Christ when the way has been so blatantly, been so clearly established for us. I ask this morning that, not for me, but for the Lord, I ask this morning that if he has, whether it's salvation or whether it's baptism or whether it's some type of discipleship or whether it is singing or serving or whatever it may be, I ask, I plead, and I beg of you to throw down your will and take up the Lord's arm and walk with him. That's my plea this morning. Let's pray.